When I was a young child, I was a major chicken. And when school bully picked on me, I didn't know what to do, so I was scared and cried. And when my family, time to time, they watched these horror movies and didn't know how to handle it because I thought it was real. And when I had a nightmare, I couldn't sleep and all that, scared to death. Eventually, I got tired of being picked on by the school bullies. I decided to learn martial art. Yeah. And I became a fine art college student, majoring in sculpture in Seoul, Korea. Then, time to time, I had to work on my sculpture project at night, sometimes alone. This classroom was about this big, probably a little bigger. Had a window all the way across one end, and a gigantic metal door in the middle. One particular night, it was full moon night, and full moonlight was coming through that dimly lit classroom. Of course, that classroom is kind of halfway to the basement, so everything you see is kind of from there, and it's silhouetted by there's several sculptures, human-shaped sculptures, silhouetted. It's a really eerie feeling. And my spot happened to be way in the back. I don't know how I end up in the back, but probably trying to avoid this professor's attention. Way in the back, and I look kind of from the corner of my eyes, I could see a bunch of human shape. And all of a sudden, wind blew. And the metal door was pushed and flung open all by itself with a squeaking sound. Just about anybody would have a heart attack with that kind of thing. That would be fear. Folks, fear is emotion with which we all are familiar with. You know what that is like? That shiver running down your spine. Or how about the back of your hair on your neck or the back of your head standing up? And your stomach is nodding and sinking. And how about this feeling? You remember this feeling that it seems like a wall's around you and the ceiling is closing in? And you cannot breathe well. Your mouth gets dried up. And your palms get flooded with the sweat. It should be the other way around, right? But your hands are just sweating. To make the matter worse, your knees shaking and buckling under you. We all have experienced this kind of type of fear one time or another in our lifetime. On occasion, some of you might even face the death. And you had that extreme fear. Do you remember that? And some of you are thinking, no, I don't want to remember that, preacher. You're depressing me this morning. I didn't come here to hear this kind of thing. Well, I don't blame you, because we all face that one time or another. I find largely two types of fear mentioned in the Bible. First one you can find is the fear of Satan, which originate from him. And it branches out the fear of man, fear of unknown future, fear of death, fear of the rejection, fear of illness, fear of loss of loved one, and fear of financial loss. And this is probably one of the on the list, fear of public speaking. That I don't have. We can do without and you have this kind of fear. However, the fear of God, is something we should have at all time. The fear of God we're going to talk about. Let's see what the Lord is going to teach us this morning through his word about the fear in general as well as the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, your presence, and help us understand the fear that grips us so many ways. whether it is labeled as worry, concern, anxiety, it can boil down. They all boil down to the one thing: fear. Help us cast our fear upon you, because you care for us and you love us. Teach us not to fear the circumstance nor the human presence. Teach us not to fear those who can kill our body. Rather, teach us to fear you and revere you always. Heavenly Father, we pray for President Obama that he may truly come to know Jesus as a Lord and Savior. And also pray for our troops, wherever they are. We're asking for you to watch over them. When they have that fear comes from the enemy's threat, you're the one who protects them. And we're asking for the same protection, divine protection for our law enforcement personnel and firefighters. We're asking you to put the hedge of protection around them, day in, day out, as they protect us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your finger in chapter 1 of Proverbs. Go to Psalm 91, please. One book before, Psalm 91, verse 5. We are going to look at the fear of Satan first. It says, Psalm 91, verse 5 says, "You shall not be afraid of terror by night, nor of arrow that flies by day." Note the word arrow. And go to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, please. And some of you are thinking, oh yeah, I know where you're going. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, exactly. Are you guys hot? Never mind. Sorry I asked. Verse 16. "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked ones." Among the ancient tactics, warfare tactics, they used arrows as like a modern-day sniper rifle, shooting the enemy opponent from the distance. Apostle Paul mentioned this in chapter 6 of Ephesians. What he says, a flaming arrow, this is something noteworthy. Flaming arrow itself will not kill people fatally, because it has a tip, arrow tip in the front, but it's kind of wrapped around with a cloth, I guess, dipped it in oil. Flaming, even though it does not kill people, but it will bring a massive disruption and confusion because it comes with a fire. Wherever it lands, it starts fire. That is exactly what devil wants in our heart with his fiery darts. When we are shielded by the faith in God, we are well protected. But any time we step out of God's protection through our faith in Him, we should be shot. We would be shot by the fiery dart of the devil that starts fear and doubts in our heart. Fear and doubts. The fear of Satan makes us to think that he's as strong as God, or if not more. The one who promoted that idea is Hollywood. Horror movies, somehow, they tend to make you to think that I hope you don't watch any of that kind of garbage, but I'm sure by experience, past experience, you know what kinds of impression they try to portray. Satan is as strong as God. It is not true. Fear has a twin brother with whom he likes to hang out, worry. Oftentimes, worry and the fear works in tandem. Not only we will experience the fear of something, then there is worry. What if this happened? What if that happened? Don't you just love those two words? What if? So what? You can get caught up in these two areas and get dragged down spiritually. Excessive worry, the expert says, excessive worry actually shortens people's lifespan. So what does worry do for you, as Jesus said? Oh yeah, it will give you a major ulcer. You get to have more wrinkles on your face. Does it help any? Does it change your situation? No, it just makes it worse. There are a few more things that come with the fear. Discouragement and despair. The fear of Satan generates other fears. Discouragement is one of Satan's most effective tools, arsenal that allows him to open gaping hole in our spiritual armor. Satan will use just about any kind of tools against man of God or woman of God. When they realize this arsenal are not working, guess what they use? They use discouragement. It's almost like that it has a sharp edge and it just getting extra wedge. And he starts to wiggle that thing back and forth with the discouragement. Pretty soon you get to have a gaping hole in your armor. Even the man of God and woman of God tend to lose in that battle. Let me make three examples. Moses, known in the Bible, known as a friend of God, man of faith. Think about it. This man is the one who delivered the Ten Commandments from the hands of God to the Israeli people. And this is the man who traveled wilderness for 40 years. The people, 2 million of them, non-stop complaining people. Day in, day out for 40 years. He didn't have one single day off. He did not have 1 week vacation. He couldn't even go to Mediterranean Sea and to have a time off. If you think you have children who just constantly nagging at you, how would you like to have them for 40 years at your home? And then follow you around every moment. And their favorite subject is, let's stone Moses. Second person who is another man of God, Prophet Elijah. On Mount Carmel, he just called down the fire from heaven. Great display of the mighty power of God came down and burned the sacrifice. And then, if that's not impressive enough, he told the Israeli people, kill that 850 pagan priests. They killed them all. And then woman's queen, Jezebel, looked at him. You know, that look, the woman's look. Guys, you remember that, right? Don't look at your wife now. This is not a good time to look at your wife, okay? Just say, okay, then just pretend that you have no idea what that is. That Jezebel said, you're dead man. What did he do? He ran. It was so bad that he was in despair and he told God, take my life, Lord. Then how about Apostle Paul? Let's think about Apostle Paul. He is a little second in command in the New Testament, right after Jesus. He had the time that he was in despair. Let's find what kind of thing he went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. You know, come to think of it, Apostle Paul was a regular jailbird, right? Remember, whichever town he goes, the first thing he finds out, okay, that's the jailhouse. I'm going to be there pretty soon. So then he go on to the synagogue and start to preach. Lo and behold, he end up in the jail again. If that's not bad enough, he gets stoned. Remember, that's not kind of stoned, okay? This is a real stone. Like Moses and like Elijah, like Paul, if you have experienced a time of despair and you are overwhelmed, you are in good company. It's not just them, everybody else in this place. Listen, fear is unbelief, and discouragement is from looking at ourselves and the circumstance, not God. Fear, let me say one more time, fear is unbelief. And discouragement is from looking at ourselves and circumstance, not God. The enemy of God cannot stop the help that comes from Father in heaven. But the unbelief we have in our heart can. Did you get it? Satan cannot stop God's help that comes to us. But our unbelief in God can stop. Even the fear itself is not a sin, but unbelief of God is sin. Do you remember why the Israelites could not enter into the promised land for 40 years? It has one word, unbelief. They chose not to believe in God's promise, so they could not enter into the promised land. When the fear comes to our heart, we still have a choice to refuse that fear. More often than not, we choose to believe that fear. Well, it gives something to do, like worry. Right? Remember what I said about worry? It's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, rock back and forth, but doesn't go anywhere. When we fear the situation, we are ignoring, choose to doubt God's faithfulness to provide our needs and His presence, that He's promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. When we fear God, fear Satan, and we are accepting the fact that we don't believe any of God's promise. It is so easy that we allow ourselves to be deceived by Satan, and whenever we take our eyes off of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. You there yet? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and of love and a sound mind. Please remember this, folks. When you face fear from the devil, the Lord gives us a power to refuse the fear and sound mind to receive His peace and comfort. However, just because we refuse fear, that doesn't mean that circumstance will change right away. As soon as you said, I refuse fear, and voila, you have a brand new circumstance, everything is going honky-dory. No, it doesn't work that way. However, what is the one that gets changed? Our mind. Our mind setting will be changed. Our heart will be changed to deal with the situation with the power of the Holy Spirit. Those fear that we can live without. But next fear we must have, the fear of the Lord. Now, back to the Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Finally, chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. The fool despises wisdom and instruction. The word fear here mentioned in this verse lacks a definition and in translation in English. The Hebrew word for the fear is irach, which translates fear, terror, awesome, respect, reverence. If you combine all these meanings, all these words, and probably we get to have a proper definition of fear. It's not being scared of God only. Yes, you can have that. So let me ask you this question. Do we need to be scared of God? The answer is yes and no. Yes and no. And then you're thinking, will you make up your mind, preacher? Well, boy, because let me explain. Yes, people need to fear his wrath and that comes as a result of disobedience. His command from the word of God and distrust of his faithfulness. You with me? When the answer is no, because God declares that he is our refuge, he is our fortress, he is our God, in him we can trust. And we find a shelter in him so we can have a comfort and peace, and we can come to him in reverence and obedience. He is not some unknown, abstract, divine being up in somewhere in the universe, and he just ready to throw his lightning bolt because he has a serious anger issue. No, he isn't just abusive to his creatures. He loves you very much. We heard the derogatory reference regarding hellfire and brimstone teachings. Because hellfire and brimstone talk about the holiness of God and the righteousness of God more than the love of God. So people tend to stay away from that kind of thing. After all, you don't have to worry about it because nowadays you don't hear the hellfire and brimstone preaching from the pulpit a whole lot anymore. People don't want to hear it. What you do hear are the message about how we can be successful, God can prosper you, or encouraging sermonette. It's not even sermon. You come here in our church, you expect I'm going to ramble for about 35 minutes or 40 minutes if I'm on a roll. But you do not expect I'm going to finish it in 15 minutes so you can walk out the door. Okay. Do you know many churches do 15, 20 minutes of encouraging words? Encouraging sermonette, dramas, and musical to replace teaching of the Word of God. They want the pastors and teachers won't allow their congregation to be ignorant biblically, starving to death spiritually, and vulnerable to Satan's attack spiritually and emotionally. It's not unusual if you stop at those born-again Christians, God bless them, if you ask them, can you tell me how to evangelize non-believers? And they'll look at you like, why do you have to ask me that kind of question? They cannot tell you because they were not taught. It's not the people's fault. It's of teachers and pastors' fault. They are not the one who's teaching them because what's the reason? Because people don't want to hear, and the pastors and teachers don't want to talk about it. Especially the social issues, controversial social issues such as homosexuality. They never talk against the homosexuality, nor they talk against the pornography, sex before marriage, adultery, abortion. What's the reason why they don't want to talk about it? Because they don't want to lose people. They want to have a big church, and they want to have a lot of revenue. Is that more important than God's truth? It's rare to hear that kind of thing, hellfire and brimstone. Am I saying that we need that all the time? No, we need the preaching as well as teaching. Calvary Chapel is known for teaching. Giving the word of God straight from cover to cover. So people, the congregation as well as the pastors and the Bible teachers start to develop a new God. This new God is a kind of all-loving, benign being hovering over the universe. He would all smile and he kind of wink at all the sins that people commit. Is that much different than indulgence they used to sell in medieval time? No. They're creating new gods. If you came to our church, you're expecting me to declare that kind of God from the pulpit, you came to the wrong church. The God we learn from this Bible is not that kind of God. The God they tend to create nowadays is not the God from the Bible. That is the God of your own making. Without a question, real God is God of love. If he's not God of love, he would not send his only begotten Son to die for your sin and my sin, that we may have eternal life. Anyone who receives Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior will enter into the kingdom of God. But anyone who chooses to reject by their own choice, they will end up in hell. I hope none of you are like that. Coming to church doesn't make you to be a Christian any more than going to a donut shop, you become a cop. I know there's a couple of cops in here, but I just had to throw that in. Actually, we have more than a couple of cops. Several. Listen, the real God is holy. The real God is holy. That is why we not only should love him with all of our heart and mind and soul for his sacrifice on the cross, as well as his love, but also we must fear him and revere him. You with me? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. In street term, don't be wise guy. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bone. Go to chapter 8, verse 13, please. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. This is the memory verse. Pride and arrogance and the evil way, the perverse mouth I hate. Chapter 14, please. Verse 16. A wise man fear and depart from evil, but the fool's rage and is self-confident. Verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Listen, when we fear the Lord truly, we have a strong confidence in his unchanging character. And we do not want to do anything against him to bring disgrace to him. Fear of the Lord is constant abiding awareness of his presence in our lives at all time. This is a good one, I want you to note that. Fear of the Lord is a constant abiding awareness of God's presence in our lives at all time. Worldly fear of the Lord is the fear that he might hurt us. But godly fear is fear that we might hurt him. How do we hurt him? Disgracing his name with our sins. Fear of an unknown future, fear of death, fear of rejection, fear of people cannot coexist with the fear of the Lord. If you have a fear of the Lord in your heart, you will not have any of those because you believe in God. Because you get to see everything from the God's perspective, not ours. That means the fear of the Lord brings us to holy living. We all have two major dates. We have two major dates. Date of birth, date of death. Date of birth and date of death. Those two are separated by the little dash. When you go to the gravesite and there's a gravestone and there's a date of birth, date of death. In between there's a little dash. We cannot choose the date of entrance, nor we can choose date of exit. But we can do much. We can choose what to do with that between the little dash, between the two dates, that dash. Whatever we choose to do, that will end. That will how it ends. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Are you there yet? Therefore, having this promise, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting the holiness in fear of God. If you have a fear of God, if I have a fear of God, because we love Him, because we revere Him, we will not do any bad things. We will have holy life. So living holy life goes against our carnal grain. Don't you agree? Holiness is not simply refusing to evil things, because even unsaved people can do that with self-control. True holiness is more than conquering temptation. It is conquering even the desire to disobey Him. Listen, love is a central of God, central in God. But the holiness is in the center of His love. Because God's love is a holy love, and the love without holiness is a monster that can destroy God's perfect law. But the holiness without love leaves no hope for the lost sinner. So both are perfectly balanced in divine nature and works of God. Did you get it? Do you want me to explain all over again? Yes? No? Yeah? Yeah, you like that, Gary. Let's make a three applications. Number one. While the fear of the Lord brings a positive result to us, fear of other kinds always bring a negative impact in our lives. What would be the fear of others? Fear of death, fear of people, fear of rejection, fear of blah, 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 all that stuff. Anything but fear of God. Application number two. Even though fear itself is not a sin, but unbelief of God is a sin. Application number three. True holiness is more than conquering temptation. It is conquering even the desire to disobey Him. You with me? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word. Let us revere You. Let us fear You. Let us love You with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our being. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.